The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day, and I'm here at KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio, at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on the 23rd of March, 2016. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It is hump day. Bad Bob. And wait a minute. I'm here not with Linda, but with Ted Lighty, retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty.
Straight out of Compton, baby.
Straight out of Compton, man. Is that where you got back last night?
Yeah. Chico. I was in Chico teaching the class.
Yeah. It was kind of like straight out of Compton. Close enough. Now, there's a lot of reasons that Ted's here today, but let's start off with the weather, and let's talk about what's happening over at Shasta Dam.
Well, first of all, we'll let you know what we can expect today. Sunshine and clouds mixed, a high of 72 degrees, overnight low of 47. That will continue through the rest of the week with clouds off and on. No rain in the immediate forecast. We don't even see a chance of that for about the next 10 days. Right now in Redding, 44 degrees. And the report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Meanwhile, up on the lake, we are still at 1,045 feet above sea level for the surface of the lake. That puts us 22 feet from the top.
Okay, now, the lake is dumping water as fast as it can. And now they're in trouble because there's too much water in the lake. They're afraid that this runoff that you're going to be seeing here over the next week is going to pound it, and they don't, you know, and they're trying to keep it under. They're trying to keep it under control.
Well, the idea is to keep it controlled.
Yeah. Well, can they do that? I mean, they can just
as
release
long as
like
they
crazy.
Stay, yeah. And what they have to do, of course, is there's a lot of moving parts. What happens downstream, what the various tributaries are putting in, and the whole idea is to not put stress on the levees down in the delta and cause a breach and property damage down there. So it's a real juggling game, but not let out so much that they get caught short. As of last night, inflow was about 17,034 feet, and inflow was 21,000 feet per second, outflow 17,000 feet per second. So letting it gain last night, it gained about a quarter of a foot.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I think they can keep it up. If it rains again, if it starts getting more rain, it should be interesting. The weather and our lake report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Like Bob said, it's a better-known business right here in town. Their customers are warm friends with senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. Teddo.
My buddy. What's up?
Their chef's getting ready to open the new his new building here. In fact, it's open for business now at 300 Park Marina Drive in downtown Reading, over there on Park Marina Drive. It looks like it's one of those newer buildings, and they needed all the room they could have. So I haven't been over there yet.
They're open today?
They're open. I think they're open for business, what it said. Last night in the elections, Cruz won Utah. Sanders won Utah and Idaho. Clinton won Arizona, and Trump won Arizona and Idaho. Arizona being the two big ones, but Sanders won in Utah and Idaho. He's still hanging in there like a little, you know, he's like a little fox terrier. It just hangs on there. He just keeps chewing and barking. And now it's like Clinton is 55%. He's 45%. That's kind of, it should be really scary to the Clinton camp that people, you know, that he's come up that fast. Now, frankly, I think it would be a hoot to see something happen and there's Bernie is running for president of the United States, 72 years old and a socialist, running for the presidency of the United States.
Yeah,
I think even Trump could beat him.
Whoever would have thought that we would see that? And things could happen. You know, Hillary is still under investigation, so.
You know what? If there is justice in this world, somebody will have, you know, somebody's going to come down and say, you know what, it was just wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. You can say it wasn't wrong, but everybody knows it's wrong what she did. She knew it was wrong. She asked for a presidential level BlackBerry phone, it was, or BlackBerry device. It was denied her. So she just decided, okay, fine, I'll just do it the way I want to. She signed papers saying she knows that she has to handle that, whether it's marked or unmarked, it's classified.
The law doesn't apply to her.
Well, you know what? And there's the problem, is it hasn't to her husband, and she's acting like she is above the law. I mean, Petraeus, a man who's put his life on the line for this country many times, who has led the defeat of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, gets hammered. His reputation is gone.
He's fired.
He's prosecuted, and he should have been. You know, that was just dumb. I don't understand how people in those positions, who are obviously smart, and they got there for hard work and all this, that the hubris that they have, that what they do, what it just doesn't apply to them because, you know what, I'm just too important for it to apply to me.
You get that good feeling about yourself, and off you go.
Good feeling about yourself.
You start feeling good about yourself.
You know what? I'm kind of dancing around here, and I'm feeling pretty good about me, so I don't have to do anything.
The law cannot
touch
me.
Have to do anything that the law says, because really, I'm doing this for the good of the country.
That's
what they think. I'm doing this for the good of the country, so I can, you know, I can break the law. So if this the same people that are supporting her were wanting to prosecute people that, you know, that waterboarded terrorist. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, that's not for the good of the country. Well, you want to prosecute waterboarders, but you don't want to prosecute Hillary. They both were things that you could say weren't for the good, you know, best of the country. Though I have never, nobody's ever proven that to me yet, that waterboarding doesn't work. I've seen it work. You've seen it work.
I understand the argument for and against.
I understand the arguments.
That's all
however,
I can say.
However, comma, it has worked. You may not like it. And, you know, I'm not advocating torture. I'm just saying is that there's been incidences where it has worked. Okay. A lot of things going on this week and in the near future here. I've got like 150 announcements.
Oh, wow. Yeah, let's go to work on this.
Okay. On Saturday, May 7th, we have the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Now, it's a month or so away. But that's okay. You need that time to sign up. They're going to have it's a golf tournament. It's a four-person scramble. You don't have to, you know, really know how to play golf. If you have golf clubs, that helps. A shotgun start, which means if you don't know what that means, that's okay. They'll explain it to you. And the net proceeds will fund the veterans assistance programs and scholarship funds that the Net Military or the Purple Heart, our group right here, does. They help those veterans that are in trouble. They also provide $7,000 in scholarships to local high schools. So you can sign up for this by giving Gunny Bill Filan a call at 339-5449 or J.T. Thomason of Gold Hills, that's where they have it, at 246-7867. The Healing Waters Fly Fishing Second Annual Mixer. It's coming up on us Saturday, April the 2nd. At Veterans Hall, 1605 Yuba Street. Now, it goes at 6 p.m. Now, what this is, and you've heard of the Healing Waters, right?
Of course,
Yeah, this is what this is it's dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military service personnel and disabled veterans through fly fishing and associated activities. Now, you're saying to yourself, well, what's that mean? Well, they take veterans that have had problems kind of coming back in or, you know, transitioning into society or in society now. And the group gets together. They're all disabled veterans, or they're all and they meet and weekly or biweekly over at the VFW, and VFW 1934, and then they go to and then this once a year they have a two fly or a two pattern fly fishing tournament. They have their guide, which is provided by either the guides volunteer their time. And from different organizations, but the Fly Shop puts out a whole bunch of guys. Last year, Fly Shop had some like 20 boats out there and all their guides. So a big shout out to Michelax. And then the one that sponsors their sponsor, the sponsor, the veteran and the guide are on the river. They fish for a day, and then at night they have this. They have a dinner, and they give away awards, and you know, I mean, it's just really, really a great event there. So, but they're having a mixer here on the 2nd, and then people can come in there, and you can. It's tickets are $20 per person. It's a way to raise money to help in this thing. So it's April 2nd at the Veterans Hall. They're $20 per person. You get a, you know, casual evening of appetizers, games, silent auctions, opportunity drawings, and no-host cash bar, which is always exciting when you're there. Whether you enjoy networking with people or not, there it is, Healing Waters. It's a great, great event, and as is the whole thing. So what else we have going on here? Oh. The Reading Regional Chapter's 22nd Annual Banquet of the Safari Club International, Saturday, April the 30th at Wind River. Dinner, auctions, drawings. They're having. They're negotiating right now, and they will have hunts in Africa, pig hunts, boar hunts, red stag, elk, duck, goose, and pheasant hunts, photo safaris, the whole thing. Plus, they have some of the best guns you're ever going to see. Even beats out the Wild Turkey
Federation. I don't think so.
No.
There is no group that beats out the National Wild Turkey Federation.
This group right here has guns like you can't believe.
No.
Oh, no. I mean, it's
we pick the guns by
hand. No. Okay, well, so do they.
Yeah, and so they come out. I saw their cute little gun collection there.
You didn't see their cute. What do you mean their cute little
gun? Cute little gun collection.
No. They have great guns there.
They do, yeah.
They
do. I'm just kidding.
I know you do. Gun hunting and outdoor equipment. All this. And now, how do you get tickets for that? It's going to be great. I'm going to be there. You going to be there?
Yeah, we moved our advanced class to go to that.
Oh, that's right. So we're all going to be there. Give a call to Larry McLeod at 474-5075. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 17 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on the 23rd of March. Carl Bott, Ted Leidy. We'll be right back.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Redding's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Redding's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The Ethanol Free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Redding. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Redding can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Carl and Dubai. Linda is getting ready for a trip she's taking. Today, 7:23 in the morning, 43 degrees, going up to 72 today. It's going to be a nice day. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Can't say enough about Espresso Joe's. Any type of coffee you can get there, any type you want. Espressos, cappuccinos, they have it all. And Tobacco and Brew is having on March the 31st. Put it down on your calendar, men. They're having a man day at Tobacco and Brew on March the 31st. It's a Thursday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the store. They're featuring My Father Cigars, the number one rated cigar of 2015, My Father Le Beggio, 1922. They're going to have the whole cigar line there. They're going to have special prizes, raffles, everything. I tell you, if you have not been to one of these smokeouts there that they have, a mini smokeout, then you haven't lived. If you like cigars, if you just like to have a good time, go on down to Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, on Thursday, March the 31st, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and you'll see a bunch of people you know, I'm sure. All right. Somebody reminded me from the chat room, thanks chat room, that Hillary has put her life on the line. You remember when Hillary said she landed in, Kosovo or someplace. She landed under sniper fire. Do you remember that? She said that? And it turns out that, you know what? That wasn't sniper fire. That was the flashes of photographers standing on the flight line when she walked in. And then she got confused because of the selfie she was taking with the seventh graders. It sounded like sniper fire, though. Well, you never heard sniper fire, probably. But anyway, so
that's
yes.
That's how it must sound. Yes, in the movies, that's how it sounded.
That's right. Yeah, just like that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I did forget that she had said that she had put her life on the line.
Yeah, we got to give her credit where credit is due. Right. I think she put herself in for a medal for that too, didn't she?
I'm not sure, but
that wouldn't surprise.
Hey, I understand that Switzerland is it the Swiss that do issue the Nobel Prize, right?
No, it's the Swedes.
Swedes. Okay, that's what I meant. Sweden. Yeah. I don't know why I said it. Okay, the Swedes.
They're thinking of asking for a couple of them back.
Yeah, they want one of them back.
Do they really?
Yeah, from President Obama. You know, he's got his picture taken, his last picture taken.
They don't really want one of them
Che
back,
Guevara. He gets his picture taken, standing at attention in front of Che Guevara. Che, whose nickname was, Chaco, it means pig because of his hygiene habits. And that anybody that's read history knows is that the Castro brothers sent him out to be, because he was just, you know, he'd just gone way too far, even for them. And they sent him out into that country that hunted him down and shot him. And he was begging at the end. Oh, no, don't kill me.
Oh, I believe it.
Like thousands of others that he had killed. So but then our president standing in front of Che Guevara getting his photo taken. You know, I don't know. I just know is that
I don't understand. I understand he's pushing for some kind of legacy, and it's just not working out here. The Middle East is okay.
Oh, he's got a legacy, all right.
Yeah, he's got a legacy.
Let me tell you, I mean, it's been one fiasco after the next for him.
Well, I tell you what, Hillary. Hillary is saying you need a commander-in-chief that knows what's going on. Hillary, my God, look at the problems we're having. It's because of the things you did in the Middle East with President Obama. Look at ISIS has just attacked Brussels. We had somebody that lives in the Netherlands that comes on our show regularly in the chat room. She says they're scared. You know, they're not terrified or anything like that, but they're scared because they see it moving toward them. They see all, you know, because they have no control of the refugees that are coming in. They have no control of where they're staying. There's no go areas or don't want to go areas from the police in many of these cities where the Muslim population has not assimilated but have built their own communities.
I don't know why they're surprised. I mean, it shows a complete lack of leadership. I do not have any idea why they're surprised. The Netherlands have the opportunity to close the door before the skunk gets in. Right?
Yep.
But too late for all the European countries, and not too late for us.
And
I mean, we can
no,
close
it's
the
not
door.
Too late for us. We can at least make it harder. I mean that border is so porous.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know. I mean, I've run, and anybody listening to the show know, I've run counter-drug ops along that border. You can shut that border down. And this was years ago before there were any fences. There were barbed wire fences. A barbed wire fence had been cut in a road from the south. It was a road, and the cattle rancher just stopped trying to fight it. He put a cattle guard there so his cattle wouldn't wander into Mexico. And,
right.
And you could see them coming, you know, because, you know, the dust, and we could be watching these trucks coming. And not small trucks, but bigger trucks and people coming through this, you know, back and forth. But back then it was kind of like it was interchangeable, but just coming. But you can stop this. And, you know, they talk about building this huge wall. You don't need that in today's technology. You just need more people on the border.
You could easily close it.
Easily close the border.
You could find and deport the illegals that are in the country right now if you wanted to. It's not difficult. I mean, they could track gun owners. You know, you know, they could track them. They could find them and take them out. The problem is those folks are little, you know, little pockets of voters that vote a certain way. And they
can track one side of tainted beef all the way back to Canada.
That's right.
Well, you know, and
tell me you can't
here's
find
the thing
them.
Is, it's got to, there's got to be immigration reform. There's got to be immigration reform. But the first thing you do is you shut the door. And then we work everything else out. You know, and, you know, like they say 124 of the 136 that were released by this ICE are now wanted for murders in the United States.
Oh, sure. Come on.
Wanted for murder.
Surprise? Is anybody here surprised?
No.
No, I don't know why even Brussels is surprised. I mean, were you watching the video yesterday and just taking a look at the demographic in their streets? There is a lot of Southwest Asian people that live there, and they're bombing themselves and killing themselves in their own country. Why do you think they're not going to do it in your own?
We have a contact who often listens to the show from the Netherlands, and she says that people there are saying it's not an if, it's a when for Amsterdam or one of those cities.
Well,
in the Netherlands,
they hit here and they hit down here in Southern California.
Yeah.
In Riverside, San Bernardino. They've hit Paris really hard, and now they've hit Brussels. And they think they've got photographs of the three guys that did it, pushing a cart in at the airport, and then, of course, they hit the subway. So, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of time until it hits all these places. And ISIS is the one that's taking credit for all this.
Well, you know, you have to take off the velvet gloves when you deal with an organization like that. They only understand one thing, and that is if we find you, we will wipe you out. And we will not let one of you walk out. We promise we will wipe you out. And it's got to be swift. And, you know, we want to use diplomacy, and we want to sanction it, and we want to do this and that. No,
it's not going to
work. Oh, heck no!
It's a multi-headed hydra. Of course, the hydra, you know, from mythology that had, you know, had 10 heads that you had to, and when he was going after Jason was going after the Golden Fleece, had to fight it anyway. But the hydra has all these multiple heads. So that's what terrorism is. So you got to start cutting the heads off.
That's right.
You eventually will, you know, you can get them down to, you know, to the one head, and you can, and then you finally kill that. But you got to kill the body too. What we did with Al Qaeda, and it worked in Iraq, was we couldn't get We couldn't get Osama right away. But we sure took out a lot of the middle management, which really slows things down. Then you start hunting the rest of them. But you take out the younger ones that are coming up. And I don't want this to sound gruesome, but the ones that are fighting, that you fight them, and we're fighting them all the time, you take out that group, and there's no leadership that comes up. And now ISIS is out in the open right now. In Iraq, in Syria, yeah. And they're out in the open. This is the time to take them down as fast as you can. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. It's our firearm dealer of choice here, and he's been a success for 7 years. And why? Customer service. That's right. Customer service at Bastiani Arms. Whether it's ammo or guns or gunsmithing, he's got it all. He's got all the accessories. He's got it at Bastiani. And veterans get great discounts at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. Give him a call at 222-8222. Open Tuesday through Saturday at Bastiani Arms. We'll be right back. Ted Leidy, Carl Bott. 7:31 in the morning. We'll be back with our representatives from our LGBT community and an outreach program that's going on.
Coming to ya on a dusty road. Good loving, I've got a truckload.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the vitamin shop.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Reading, California.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Turtle Bay's 24th annual spring plant sale is April 8th and 9th. Our ever-popular heirloom vegetables are a main feature of the spring plant sale, and they sell out fast. April 8th is the Turtle Bay Members' Night, and the general public sale is on April 9th. Turtle Bay members get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day from the Arboretum and Botanical Garden staff and volunteers. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
It is 25 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 23rd of March. 43 degrees going up to 72 today. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful week. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Easter, going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be nice into next week. What can I say? Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. They are a locally owned, locally operated business, better known. So, I'm here with Ted Leidy. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Carl.
How you doing, buddy?
Man, I am doing very well.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
And I was thinking about the SCI dinner again. I won a gun last year, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, that's now my favorite dinner.
I know.
Now that I think about it.
You know, come
yeah,
think
I won
of
a gun
it.
There last year.
Won a gun. Okay.
When you win a gun, it espouses you to the dinner.
You know what? If it, you know what? And it, once you win a gun, you think you're going to win a gun every time, but you don't.
I know.
I mean, I won a gun there the year before. I didn't win anything the last year.
That's how they make money.
That's how I love it. I put my, you know, put my head down on the table.
Yeah, so hey, I'm going to sit at your table. I'll buy the tickets.
I know. Well, no, you don't have to. I got a table here. Okay, I'm here with Amanda Allpress, who is the young adult librarian from Shasta Regional, from Shasta Library, and Carrie Diamond, who is the, are you the head of the NorCal Outreach Program?
Yes, I'm the board president.
Okay, the board president of the NorCal Outreach Program. We're here to talk about book-to-action programs at the Shasta County Library, right?
Yep, at the Shasta Public Library.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Shasta Public Library. I got it. I had Shasta and Library, so anything else I say is kind of, you know, extra. All right, what's going on?
Good morning. Well, so in November, I approached my teen advisory board at the public library to ask them if they wanted to apply. It's sort of like a grant program, a reimbursement program that's actually supported by the California State Library and the California Center for the Book. Libraries across California can apply for it, and so they were very excited. It's called Book to Action. The whole purpose of it is that it's a play off of a traditional book club. But you pick a book, design programming around the book, and then it ends in a community service act. So I let my teen group 100% design this program, choose the topic. And
so where are the teens from?
Just Shasta County,
just
all
Shasta
over Shasta County.
From the schools here, and are they all volunteers?
Yeah, they get volunteer hours for being part of the teen advisory
board.
That's
cool. So they put this whole program together then. But you're the adult supervision of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay. I know how that works sometimes.
We talked about a bunch of topics, but the thing they were most compelled to do was to do some LGBT advocacy and outreach, and that's when
LGBT...
lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
Well, you know, some people don't understand that.
Exactly.
So, okay, so they said, okay, you know, really what we need to have here on the teen side of it is an outreach program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. They felt that this is something that our community needed for our teens, and at that point, that's when I contacted Carrie from NorCal Outreach Project to see if she'd like to partner with us, and she definitely jumped on the opportunity.
Well, great. So, Carrie, tell us here then, so what kind of program is it going to be? Have you been able to work with the teenagers, with the teens?
Yes, I've been working with the project since about November
this
year. Amanda said, they contacted us. We were very excited that they wanted to do this project because there's never been anything
that's kind of, it's unusual.
Like here. Yeah.
It's unusual for this. I mean, for our area up here for something like that. It's a so what's the program going to be?
It's what we would like to see it turn into, what the youth would like to see it turn into, is a once-a-month gathering to where they can basically meet people from other schools, outreach, and not feel so alone.
This is our LGBT community, right?
Mm-hmm. LGBT and allies, straight allies.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what?
Straight allies.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Cool. So this program then will grow into a place where the kids can meet and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let me see. They can talk and, you know, with others that are in that community then.
Mm-hmm.
And friends or allies that are straight.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a large community of teenagers in here?
It's growing. And, I would say we have a group of about, what would you say, 10 right now?
10
that are working at the library, and there's just been a lot of
talk, and they have, you know, the kids are very connected. They're very wired to the internet now, so they are able to get information that way too.
So the kids that there's no program that's been out there before, but you all have been here. Mm-hmm. The NorCal Outreach Project has been here.
Yes, we've been an organization since 2008.
Is there a large excuse my ignorance here, but is there a large LGBT community?
I would say the T community. It's not always visible here. So.
Yeah, and okay. So there's still, you know, people still aren't comfortable with it then. Is it mainly Northern California, or is that, you know, is it more acceptable? Are you finding that?
I've found that in the past, I've been doing LGBT advocacy for about 8 years now, and I would say in the past 4 years, there has been a definite turn in attitude towards the community here.
Yeah, I think so. I see events happening. We've had a variety of people coming through, and, mm-hmm. you know, advertising events that are happening downtown, and the gay men's course from San Francisco coming through, mm-hmm. and in fact there was a block party here. Was it last year? Or
we put on it. Yeah, NorCal Outreach Project has actually put on Pride every year since 2009.
Okay,
and it is that is an event that we're planning for this year as well.
So is the project then is for kids that are. That are in the community, then, to kind of be, you know, I guess it's to meet other teenagers, and so that they don't have this feeling like I'm just out here by myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It can be very difficult for youth in an area where they don't feel accepted just basically exist day to day. So I know I grew up and came out here. And that was a very long time ago, 20 or so years ago. But
I bet it was tough out here 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think
it was tough anywhere 20 years ago.
Among youth, there's more acceptance now, but I think, like I said, in the past 4 years, especially with everything that's been going on nationally, there's been a jump in acceptance, I believe.
Where did you come here from?
I was born and raised here.
Oh, I thought you said when you came back.
When you came here 20 years ago.
Oh, no, I went to Central Valley High School.
Oh, okay.
I came out here. That's what it was. I came out, not came out. I came out as in.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Oh, I got it.
She
came out, got it. Yeah. I'm with you now.
It's all right.
Well, you and I are really good at this.
I'm trying.
Okay. Hey, Amanda, what kind of other...
I love everybody, you know.
Okay.
I trust just a few, but I love them all.
And that is true about this guy.
That is true.
What else is the library looking at?
So what we did is the teens chose a book, and it's a memoir by a transgender teen named Erin Andrews. It's called Some Assembly Required, The Not-So-Secret Life of a Transgender Teen. So I was able to get, I think, 50 copies of the book, and we've been handing them out to the community who wants to participate. On April 13th in the afternoon, 4:30, we're going to have a book discussion and a movie night. So we're going to – all those who have read the book can participate in the book discussion, and then we're going to show the movie Geography Club, which is about a group of teens who create a secret – LGBT club at their school, but call it the Geography Club because they think no one's going to want to join a geography club. It ends up being a positive story in the end where it's to be fun, lighthearted. We're inviting youth to come and bring pillows, sleeping bags, blankets, whatever they want to be comfortable to watch the movie. We'll have pizza actually supplied by Redding's Ultimate Pizza. I want to say thank you to them. And some snacks, popcorn and stuff. So... that's going to be our first night, Wednesday, April 13th. The second thing we're participating in is April 15th at 4 p.m. We're going to do a day of silence demonstration. So Carrie actually probably would be better to speak about the day of silence.
The day of silence is basically a day where youth take a stand against bullying against LGBT people. And they take a vow of silence, and our group has actually been putting together these Day of Silence cards that explain what's going on,
mm-hmm.
Even whenever they can't. They're taking that vow of silence, so they can't really talk, and they've been making bracelets for this program to pass out to their friends and basically raise awareness and take a stand.
So it starts April?
That one's April 15th at 4 p.m.
So everything starts, though, on April
13th.
And where can they get more information from?
They can go to the library's website. We have at ShastaLibraries.org /book-2-action.
If you just go to the Shasta Public Library, they are going to be able to help you.
Exactly.
In doing this. Or to NorCal Outreach Project.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, do you all have a website?
We do. We have a website, but this project is mostly updated on our Facebook.
Okay, so
you can
Facebook.
Search for us on Facebook.
On Facebook. Yeah. And thanks very much for coming in here. So it's going to be in a couple weeks then, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk again.
Okay. Yeah. Real quickly, can I just
sure.
say April 18th is our biggest event. It's a community forum that youth and adults are invited to. And so we're going to have we're going to share stories and get the community involved in the discussion.
Great. I hope you invite all the city leaders here.
Yes, everyone's invited.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks a lot. We're here with Amanda Allpress, the young adult librarian. And Carrie Diamond, the president or chairman of the NorCal Outreach Project.
Chairman's
fine. Okay.
What a great program.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with our next guest. It's 14 minutes until 8 o'clock.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Come learn how you could be on the Shasta County Grand Jury. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could ever hope for. For a thorough presentation with all the details, come to the informational meeting this Wednesday at 3 o'clock at Reading City Hall.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will?
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Am I hearing a little music back there, buddy? Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Hey, Shasta District Fair. Well, you know what? This is Carl Bott and Ted Lighty. We're back here with Sheila McLeod of the Safari Club International. We've already talked about it, but let's talk about it again. We're having the greatest party, 22nd annual Reading Regional Chapter of the Safari Club International. Is going to be Saturday, April 30th.
Yes, sir.
Tell us all about it.
Oh, it's a great time for everybody. Not just the gentleman hunters, but the lady hunters and all of the youth. We have a special youth drawing. For those 12 to 17, it is free. Last year we gave away a shotgun and a rifle and lots of gift certificates.
Well, you're sitting across from two guys. Well, I shouldn't say that. One guy who won last year and one guy whose wife won.
Absolutely.
In fact, you may have won two the year before. So there are lots and lots of guns out there.
Yes.
To be won. Plus,
it's just
trips.
A good dinner.
It's just a great time. It's dinner. It's everything. It's just a great time.
Last year, we had new people come to this banquet who've been to many other banquets. And one gentleman said that it was the best banquet he'd ever been to. And a couple who used to go to the Bay Area banquets, they said, yes, your banquet is different. It's fun.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I got your message, by the way, last night when you contacted
Thank
me.
You.
So
Thank you.
So we're all squared away
we're
there.
All
I gave up your phone number. She said, I need his phone number. So I don't know. She says, give me his phone number. I said, okay, Sheila.
She tracked me down. I would answer the phone, but I was teaching a class.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's
now, right. There's a lot of people that come here. These tickets are, how much are the tickets? They're...
Individually, they're $60 a piece. A couple's
right.
$90.
Right.
$350 for a sponsor package. This sponsor package includes two dinners and $400 in sponsored in tickets for the drawing and a 1 in 5 chance for a sponsor gun at the end. If you buy a table, it is $880 and it's 8 dinners and 2 chances to get into the sponsor package drawing at the end.
There you go.
If you get a table, do you get
yes.
a ticket pack also?
Yes, sir.
What kind of, what's a sponsor gun?
I don't know what the sponsor gun. Last year, it was a Browning A-Bolt. We have yet to get our gun selection in, but I will be bringing that selection in to you before the banquet.
Yeah, because we need to talk about that, because I tell you what, these are just top-rated firearms.
They are.
And we argued about who had the best firearms.
Because we do the gun selection for the NWTF, so let me tell you, that is becoming a call to action
yes,
for banquet goers.
Yes,
they're going to ask you, okay, yeah. What's your sponsor gun?
What's
tell
your,
me your sponsor gun. Do I want a chance at that sponsor gun or not?
Yes,
that's a good and so now they asked SCI. Larry and Sheila came in here about this is the third year now.
Yes,
and. And I just imposed myself. I said, hey, can I be in part of this? And so forced myself on them as the MC. But we have just had a great time with this. These are really super people. And the other thing is we talk about, it's not just about all the great stuff they have there and it's because it's a fundraiser. It's Safari Club International. And they say, oh, Safari Africa. No, Safari Club International protects hunting rights. It's for everybody, and it's conservation of wildlife. And I tell you, if it wasn't for the hunters, the conservation, there would be a lot of places there would be no wildlife. And I mean, just an example is turkeys. In the 40s, there were not a lot of turkeys, and now I mean, when I say not a lot, there were maybe 100,000. Now there's like 8 million turkeys that they know of in the United States.
Yes, yeah,
and that's
some
all
of,
during that.
Some of our hunting facts is. The contributors in the form of excise taxes and sporting arms and ammunition and archery and everything to the states generates $5.6 billion for wildlife conservation.
$5.6 billion. Now, you don't see that coming out of the Sierra Club or PETA or the Humane Society or any of these. This comes out of the licenses that hunters and fishermen put back into society or put back into the conservation efforts.
An average hunter spends $1,638 every year. He's a consumer.
And which is why that wild turkey So far, it's cost me $23 a pound.
Wow, that imaginary wild turkey.
An emergent, which I have not had, which I have not shot.
The Wish Wild Turkey.
The Wish Wild Turkey is, yeah. This is the WWT, the Wish Wild Turkey.
How did you do your math on just the average weight of a wild turkey?
I watched them weighing them the other day.
Yeah,
The kids, the seven kids, the 10-year-old that shot the turkey.
90% feathers.
Yeah.
So you just 20, put it.
23 pounds, and then I said 23 pounds, and then divided by all the money I've spent.
Yeah.
So it's 23, at least $24. You must be up to $100 a pound.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, you don't even know.
I'm not buying a shotgun.
But yeah.
Maybe I'll win one.
Now, some of the things that we support with our banquet money are a regional scholarship, a $1,000 scholarship. And this is, we have presented this now for 6 straight years. It's a wonderful thing to meet these young people who we want to help move along in their life and to benefit them. We also support the Anderson High School Skeet Team. We support the Northern Free Trappers. We have the Shasta County Sportsmen. And we also support youth and veteran pheasant hunts.
Yes. And
excellent.
Yeah, I mean, there's just all types of things. And again, we go back to is that a lot of effort and a lot of money that's raised, you know, some money goes back to the international or the national chapter, but a lot of it stays right here with
70%
stays right here to be put back into our community, just like you said, in scholarships. And these are people with scholarships. It's not just any scholarship. These are scholarships that have to do with wildlife or conservation.
Fish and game, forestry, biology.
Yeah.
All aspects.
So if somebody's, you know, wants to be a biologist, and it could lead to a wildlife biologist or a forestry, somebody that's an engineer in the forestry business like this, okay, they can get a $1,000 scholarship. I mean, you know what? That's a lot of money.
That pays
your books and all that for a couple, maybe even a whole year, maybe more. So we really appreciate this. And this is really, you know, the thing I like about it is it's a happy group of people that are there. And they have you've got things from China, I don't know if it's China or not, but it's plates and all that with like outdoor motifs on them.
Yes.
And they have a women's table with guns and, you know, and all types of things that women really like.
We're one of the only banquets left in town that has specialties for the ladies.
That's right. And then you've got the drawing, like Sheila said, on the guns for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Like
so this is just a great time, everybody. And we're going to be there. There's going to be a lot of other people. And to get tickets, you need to give Sheila a call at 474-5075 or Scott at 221-4650. And or go to the SCIReading.org, too. All these ways you can do it. And if you've got a question, you're going, okay, I didn't write that down, then you call us here at the station. And we're going to put it on there. We're going to also put it on the front page of our website so they can look at it. And do you have a Facebook page?
No, we don't have.
Well, I'm going to Facebook it out today.
Okay,
I'm going to Facebook it out today with a picture of a turkey on it. See, that's what a turkey looks like. I wouldn't know. I've never seen one that close.
Yeah, that looks like about the size of
except the ones that those seven kids shot.
Oh, I know.
They let me go over and look at them. It was nice of them.
Some of the great
hunts we have this year. We have a buffalo hunt.
Oh, that's
right. Buffalo hunt is back.
And this is a hunt. This isn't you walk. Yeah. Oh, like I'm going to shoot the buffalo.
No.
Yeah. And they call him, hey, Clyde, come over here. And he walks over and they pat him on the nose. No, this is a hunt.
Yeah.
So
we have a cow elk hunt. We have a bull elk hunt. And we may have a Canadian wolf hunt this year. We're working
Canadian
on that
Canadian wolf hunt. Oh, Bob goes.
You're the Peter people.
Oh, people already, they're marching on the station. Okay. We're going to be talking about it more. It's April 30th. This is kind of gets everybody rolling out there, listening to the commercial on the station, and we're going to be Facebooking it, and we're going to have a great, great event.
Absolutely. Come out, support SCI, support the community.
And support your hunting rights, because I tell you what, we're losing them. And people don't realize it, that this is one of the things that you were trying to get the youth, what you're doing with the junior wild turkey hunters. We need to build the younger ones so we keep it going.
SCI is the only group with lawyers and with active lobbyists.
Great. Okay, Sheila McLeod, thank you so much for what you do. And
thank you.
We're going to be back on a couple more times before the 30th.
You bet.
Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. We're going to be talking turkey hunting with one of the greatest experts in the nation.
Ted Leidy? Me? That,
no,
me?
No, somebody else. All okay. right, we'll be right okay. back.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew, trying to get to back to life as usual in Brussels after yesterday's terrorist attacks, among them teacher Annie Marie Sales, who says showing up for work is something she feels she should do.
Yes, I have to. Go. We all have to, because otherwise I think they will win.
Shireen Nagani is an American who was at the airport with a boyfriend yesterday during the bombing and told NBC's Today Show she's just glad to be alone.
I need to get home, so I'm going to do what I have to do. It's going to be difficult, but you know, got to be brave, I guess, be strong.
Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department is asking Americans in Brussels not to be too brave and try to keep a low profile.
We have asked all U.S. citizens in Brussels who can to shelter in place, avoid all public transportation, and contact their loved ones as best they're able.
The State Department spokesman John Kirby, who also says it is too soon to say whether the attack was carried out by the Muslim terrorist group ISIS, that's a position that Michael Rubin with the American Enterprise Institute says is typical of the administration's lack of specific action.
Simply declaring that we must unite is different than a strategy. We've got to stop confusing political rhetoric and aspiration with actual strategies and results.
Rubin told the Salem Radio Network there is a failure of intelligence. New York counterterrorism official John Miller telling CBS's This Morning, tracking down suspects all the harder because of the wide availability of encryption apps.
The company would say to us, not only won't we give it to you, but we can't give it to you because we don't have it. They change their own encryption in real time.
GOP presidential candidate Ted Cruz embracing former candidate Jeb Bush's endorsement.
I'm very grateful to have the support of Governor Jeb Bush, and it's an indication of what we're seeing nationally. We're seeing Republicans uniting behind our campaign.
And that's Cruz telling CBS This Morning that he can build a broad coalition capable of beating Hillary Clinton if he can win the nomination. More on these stories from townhall.com.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, a classroom answer could cost Grace Wesley everything.
They're looking to destroy you.
I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
God's Not Dead 2. In theaters April 1st. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes available at godsnotdead.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
U.S. home buyers out west accounted for all of February's increase in sales of new houses.
The Commerce Department says new home sales went up 2% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 512,000. All of the increase came from a 38.5% increase in purchases in the west. And that reversed a stiff 32.7% decline in January that had cut into overall sales. Meanwhile, sales fell in February in the northeast, midwest, and south.
That's Jeremy House reporting. When you live 249 miles above the planet on the International Space Station and run short of supplies, a quick trip down to Walmart is out of the question. Instead, you have to hoist those supplies up on the back of an unmanned Atlas V rocket, which is exactly what happened last night at Cape Canaveral, as they got a supply capsule on its way with some 8,000 pounds of cargo, food, and equipment set to rendezvous with the space station on Saturday. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. When men were running in short supply stateside during World War II, these ladies rolled up their sleeves and proved they could do a man's job. Some 30 Rosie the Riveters honored on Tuesday with a tour of the nation's capital and its monuments.
I'm enjoying it. It is absolutely fantastic.
Sylvia Tanis says she didn't feel she was doing anything heroic when she put in some of those rivets that held the U.S. war machine together.
I'm seeing it as, for the first time, as I didn't realize that we were that important that far back. I was only 18, 1943.
As women worked during the war at jobs traditionally done by men, such as churning out bombers at the Ford Motor Company's Willow Run plant in Michigan, one of them was the inspiration for the rosy character that came to symbolize female empowerment and the We're in This Together spirit on the American home front. More of these stories from townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abbott. It's Wednesday. Linda's at home. She's got a lot of things going. So I brought in Ted Leidy, my friend, retired command sergeant major of the Army and heads and the owner and chief instructor of Northern Firearms Instruction. Teaches all over Northern California and Southern California. you're branching out there, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you do. This is your job. I mean, this is your business.
All I do.
This is not a part-time job for him. He does this, and he's a very successful business. All your instructors are NRA trained?
Every instructor's NRA credentialed. Right. We don't have one person out there just hanging out, being a safety officer.
No,
they have to be NRA.
They're all
pistol
safety
instructors.
Officers. And to fully reveal everything, I instruct also for NFI. Ted asked me to do that. We had the NRA course and all this. In fact, we do renewals, and it's about time for renewal. I'm here, also with Bad Bob, and Bad Bob's going to give us what the weather is going to be for this week.
And somewhat warmer than yesterday is the forecast. High will be about 72 degrees. Overnight low will be down 47. That's a good 10-degree jump from what we had yesterday. That's going to continue through the week. No rain in sight, which is just as well, because Shasta Dam is just about as high as they wanted at this stage of the game. It is 22 feet from the top of the top level of the lake. Right now in Reading, we see 46 degrees, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
All right, Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned business, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. A bunch of great people down there, Chuck and Judy Kinney. Give them a call, 365-3793. Save the dates. We got lots of messages going out here. The save the date for May the 14th, the 9th annual Walk a Mile in Her Shoes.
Wow, I can't believe it's time for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes again.
For one safe place. Now, have you ever walked a mile in the high heels?
No, I can't get a size 14. That's the tough thing.
Oh, no, I can find that for you.
Yeah. You can get those out of San Francisco, you know.
Karen will find you a set
of
lifts. Yeah. You know, okay. So May the 14th, walk a mile in your shoes, have a good time, raise money, and assemble your team for a morning of fun for a great cause. Walk a mile in her shoes.
Love it.
And you know what? Tyler Whitlow is the leader on this. He's the one that's pushing all this. And if you have a photo of Tyler looking extremely good in his red pumps. This Easter, the Simpson University Choral Trinity Repertory Singers and Weaverville Community Chorus, under the dynamic leadership of Dr. Cyril Myers, will be performing the eastern portion of Handel's Messiah, a masterpiece piece of Western culture. 2016 Shasta District Fair commercial vendor applications are now available if you're wanting to get in there. And it's the theme. There's country in the air at the Shasta District Fair. For more information, ShastaDistrictFair.com or stop by the fair office located at 1890 Brick Street in Anderson or call 378-6789. Let me see. I think that's it. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Carl? Hi, Ted. How are you doing?
Hey, Terry. Good morning.
There's a town hall coming.
Pardon me?
There's a town hall coming.
Yes, sir, there is. It's going to be on April the 2nd. It's going to be at the Senior Citizens Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. That's right next to the Elk Lodge. And Mark Baird will be talking on representation, accountability, and constitutional principles. It's open to the public. Doors open at 3. It starts at 4. And there will be some really interesting surprises there. We're going to talk about where we go from here. It should be an absolutely fabulous event.
Okay. All right. Then that's going to be when?
That will be on April the 2nd.
April the 2nd.
Saturday, April 2nd. Doors open at 3. It'll start at 4 o'clock. Free admission.
All right, buddy.
Okay, and we'll talk about it again. I think
have a great day, you two.
You bet. I think we had a couple PSAs we're going to be playing on that too.
Yeah. I'm interested in that. We'll be at the Sportsman's Expo doing that free renewal class, but I just think I can get out of there for that. I'm very interested.
Trot on down there. Okay, you know what? One of the things we've been talking about over the last week or so is it's turkey season is starting this Saturday. And I know that people are going, oh, gosh, turkey season. Well, last Saturday was the beginning of the season for juniors. And Ted Leidy roped me into it. And once I get into something, I tend to become somewhat obsessive. I didn't think it was obsessive. Linda thought it was obsessive when I was laying in bed in my camo, had my face painted up, and was practicing my turkey calls in bed. And she said, this is just a little bit too much. Get rid of the turkey call and go wash your face.
Carl, I just can't forget that visual.
I know. It's gonna
haunt me for the rest of my life. Some things you just can't unsee.
I know. So some things like that. All right. So we go to a Turtle Bay auction, and I'm sitting at Mike and Bertha Michelak's table, and sitting at the table was a gentleman by the name of Tom Stone, and Tom is a retired fishing game guy, but he knows everything. You see a picture of a quail on a wine bottle, he tells you what the Latin name is. I mean, that's pretty cool. And so he's talking about turkey hunting. And in 10 minutes, he tells me more about turkey hunting than I'll ever know. He says, but no, he said, I'm just a novice. There's a man in town who is the master. He's the Zen master of turkeys and turkey hunting. And it just happens, the man writes books. He's nationally famous, and he's right here. So I called him up, John Higley, and John has come into the show today. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm doing
good
fine.
Good morning, John. I'm happy to meet you.
I don't know if I can follow that.
Oh, no, we can follow this. Well, no, this is good. Because, we have people on our show that I love to have people on the show, whether it's information technology or, what are the things? Whether it's politics, if it's medicine, if it's whatever it is, to have a true expert come in. And so you can, you can't do anything but learn from a person. But we also, but a lot of this is conservation and learning about that, because without conservation and helping in building habitat or providing habitat, we wouldn't have any of these animals out here anyway.
Well, that's true. The focus of the National Wild Turkey Federation at this point is save the habitat, save the hunt. And with regard to turkeys, it's amazing the industry that has started around turkey hunting in the last 30 or 40 years. Because originally, when I grew up here in California, there were no wild turkeys at all, even though there were some historically or prehistorically, according to fossilized remains.
So turkeys have been around since prehistoric times.
Yeah, they're probably related to dinosaurs. I don't know. They say some bird life is. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Anyway,
but turkeys were in California, but had died out.
Prehistorically, yeah.
Okay.
They wonder if maybe they were killed off by the Native Americans even before the European settlers got here.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you one way or the other because I'm not quite that old, but I'm getting close.
You're getting close to that. Huh?
Anyway, the thing is, in the 1940s, as I heard before on the previous hour, the turkey population nationwide was very low. And game departments nationwide at that time were pretty involved in reintroducing things in various places. I mean, California didn't have any chuckers. California didn't have any pheasants. We didn't have any bass or bluegill, for that matter.
Really?
And we've got
in the
them
40s.
All.
Yeah.
The only warm water species we had was Sacramento perch in those days. So all that stuff has been introduced. Well, game departments nationwide, they developed rocket nets or cannon nets for waterfowl, which were adapted to turkey hunting, to turkey trapping. And they were able to trap and transplant wild turkeys out of the areas where they were still existing. And now they're huntable in every one of the 48 contiguous states, and also Hawaii and some of the Canadian provinces.
Wow.
So it's a success story in that regard, and it's reintroduced turkeys to California that probably were here at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can hunt them now from San Diego County to Siskiyou, primarily along the Central Valley and the coastal counties and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really a good success story. And Tom here,
Ted
Leidy, was in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, and so was I. And the industry built around turkey hunting is incredible, because when I first started hunting them in 1971, you couldn't buy a turkey call in California. Nobody knew what they were. I had to get mine by mail order, and I didn't know how to use it anyway.
Oh, you know what? Let me take a break here, because now we're going to get into that part. But this is great. Well, and I have to take a break because we have to sell stuff. But our guest, of course, Ted Leidy's here with me, and our guest is John Higley, who is a nationally known expert on turkey conservation, turkey hunting. He's written several books and with updates. So that latest one is Successful Turkey Hunting, and with lots of photos in it, which is really good for Ted and I.
That's right. And I already picked out one of my buddies in there.
Already picked out your buddies. There's people we know in this thing. So in this book. But anyway, we're going to come back after these messages. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service. How outstanding? Voted best in the North State 2015. Probably going to be voted every year because they are outstanding. A veteran-owned business, Alliance Heating and Air. If you've got an emergency, they're there for you like they would be for family, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The Reading chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business. This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in the world.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Ted Leidy this morning. It's Wednesday morning, the 23rd of March, 2016. It is 8:20 in the morning. It's 48 degrees out there right now, going up to 74 today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And it's going to be beautiful for the next 10 days, it looks like. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Hey, you know, one of the big parts about turkey hunting is you have to get up at 4 in the morning. So if you have to get up at 4 in the morning, you have to get a great night's sleep. And how do you get a great night's sleep? Sleep Number. That's right, Sleep Number. I tumble into my Sleep Number bed with my Sleep Number setting, by the way, is at 80. I'm feeling firmer this year.
Is 80 like more firm?
Yeah, more firm. It goes up from 1 to 100. You can set your the firmness on your side of the bed anything you want, because Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40, so she's half of what I have there, because, you know, she sleeps, she's a princess.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And yes. She's a princess, just like me. So.
She doesn't dent that mattress like you do.
I'm in it.
She's
no,
not
I'm
a good eater as you are.
Well, you know, yeah, or you, buddy.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, you don't be talking about that. If you ought to get one of these, it would keep Lisa from rolling downhill on you the whole time.
I always tell you I'm a good eater. You can look at me and know I don't miss a big
anyway,
night.
If quality sleep is important, and to get a quality sleep, you know, Sleep Number is one of the ways to do it, if not the best way to do it. And with the Sleep IQ technology, which can help give you ideas how to sleep better by changing settings, doing telling you to do things like, hey, turn off your computer an hour before you go to bed. All of this at Sleep Number. And right now, you can have the best sleep of your life with a Sleep Number mattress and Sleep IQ technology starting at only $1,099.98. Great, great prices for this right now. And sleep is one of the life extending things you can do. Exercise, diet, and sleep. You need those three things.
I manage my sleep. I really manage it.
You need to. You have to get a good night's sleep. Anyway, go down to your Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Go down and see Brian or Janice down there. Have them talk to you. Have them show you exactly what we're talking about, Sleep Number. Okay. Hey, our guest is John Higley, and we're talking turkey conservation. Turkey, and the fact is that when he was growing up and when he first started hunting turkeys in 1971, there were no turkey calls, and nobody really knew. I mean, what did people think about turkey hunting? What made you want to go turkey hunting?
I was invited by the couple of biologists from the California Department of Fish and Game in those days that were involved in the turkey program, the introduction program, and they invited me on a hunt. The hunt was going to cover 9 counties, is all in those days, and last about 1 week. Now it starts, the last weekend of March and goes to the first weekend of May for the general season. So anyway, I accompanied them to Paso Robles, California, and we sat in a motel in the evening before and tried to learn how to call turkeys, and we had absolutely no idea. So it was kind of a neat experience. The next morning, I hunted with the son of the Department of Fish and Game director in those days, a guy by the name of Chip Arnett. And everybody gave up after a while because we didn't realize what we were doing. And on the way back
We didn't know what we're doing out there. I kind of get that feeling.
Anyway, I love that.
That's my claim to fame. I was the first outdoor rider to go on a turkey hunt in California, and I actually killed a bird on the way back to my truck, more or less by accident, because everybody went back to lunch, and I decided to kind of mosey there and spot and stalk like hunting deer, and that's when I killed my first turkeys the first day of the first spring season in California.
Wow, so you got the first one.
Well, the first one by an outdoor rider, anyway.
Yeah, by an outdoor rider. Okay, so then everybody, so you had bragging rights then. You brought in your turkey.
Well, I don't dare brag.
Well, back in 71, we weren't hunting turkeys here in Shasta County. Right. We didn't hunt turkeys in Shasta County until 77?
No, it was earlier than that.
Must have been just earlier, somewhere between 71 and 77.
In 1974, I killed my first turkey in Shasta County, and it was legal.
Okay, so that must have been it, 74.
74.
Well, I knew it was somewhere in there. I just didn't know exactly.
How many turkeys, okay, we were talking about, there were just several, you know, several thousand in the 40s. How many turkeys would you say, John, are in just in California?
Nobody can count them. The round figure you hear is 200,000. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more. I know that back in the 40s, nationwide, like you said, there was less than 100,000 probably, and now they figure there's probably 7 million.
Right.
That's one figure I've heard. And the number of hunters is up to about 3 million, I believe, nationwide. So it's quite a success story of conservation, and it's very important to the hunting community.
Now, that is important because hunters are the prime drivers of the of saving habitat and where the money comes from to study different species and to make sure that they have a place to live, they have and they are protected and then and also and taken care of.
A lot of people don't understand that, but that's true. The money we spend, I mean, I spend a lot of money every year on licenses and tags and things like that, and that goes to finance the various things that the game departments do, one thing or another.
Right. And then the money that's been that when people buy a firearm under that one act goes back
correct.
Into it, too.
That's
I mean,
correct.
That's millions and millions of dollars a year.
That's correct.
Especially over the last 6 years.
That's correct.
Or seven, there's been a lot of money spent, right. Yes, as everybody's buying guns. So turkey hunting isn't easy.
Well, it can be. Once you get the routine down, it can be easier than you think some days, and then it can be harder. That's what makes it fun, because you never really know exactly what's going to happen to you, even if you've got the best plans laid and all that. You really don't know what's going to happen that next morning when you're out there.
Are turkeys dumb?
Turkeys are turkeys. They can only do what turkeys can do. They don't have a choice. So when you say they're dumb, they're just reacting to what they, the way they have to react to predation and breeding and food and roosting and those kinds of things.
So I like that. Turkeys can only do, what was that?
Turkeys? What turkeys can do.
Yeah.
They can't make a decision to change their way of doing things because you happen to be there. They treat you like a predator.
Okay. Yeah, and the thing about a turkey is, dumb or not, they walk on the ground with no natural defenses, so they're a little paranoid. I mean, if you catch one on the ground, it's going to get eaten. So if it doesn't look right, a turkey will automatically forego the curiosity that other animals might have.
Everything likes to eat turkeys.
That's right.
I've seen them spook to ground squirrels once in a while when they didn't expect the movement.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, and I think that's important, too, is okay, it's 3 million turkey hunters out there. And truthfully, the first time that I went out on a turkey hunt was just the other day. I mean, you and I have gone out and scouted turkeys and to see where they're at and all these things.
Looked at a lot of turkeys.
Looked at a lot of turkeys, you know. Yeah, I've looked at a lot of turkeys. And but the thing is it is a huge business. I mean, if you just walk in to a sporting goods store, like just, you know, and a large sporting goods store, and you look at all the stuff that has to do with turkey hunting, there must be 100 different calls.
Well, at the I counted diaphragm calls. There's different kinds of calls. I classify them as friction and air-operated. The air-operated calls fit in your mouth, or you've got to use your air in order to blow them. The other friction calls you use your hands for. I counted the diaphragm calls in a catalog last year. There were 90 of them.
Wow. That's,
and basically, you got to say, well, which one sounds different than the other?
Okay, now, diaphragm, let's just tell people, a diaphragm call is one that fits into your mouth.
That's correct.
And fits up into the roof of your mouth. And then by huffing through, by expelling air from your mouth, it makes a sound. Now, whether that sound sounds like a turkey is up to is how good you are. Mine sounds like a scalded cat running down the street, which I'm not sure why that frightened all the turkeys around me that day.
Intermittently interspersed with gagging.
With gagging, yeah, because it goes in your mouth.
Gagging.
You don't want
to gag.
You don't want to swallow those things.
I was wondering, how many people, you see somebody walking out, their face is blue, you know they've swallowed a diaphragm turkey call. Anyway,
I hope not.
We've got to take a break here again.
Okay.
But here's some of the comments from our chat room. We have wild turkeys who visit our yard at certain times of the year. They like to look into our windows and watch us.
Yeah,
we shoo them away, and they just sort of waddle off.
They're easily domesticated.
Yeah, lucky for them, you can't shoot your gun in our neighborhood.
They're easily domesticated.
Let me come, Sonny, I'm coming over there with a net.
If you start feeding them, you'll start with 4, then you'll get 8, then you get 16, 32, 64, 128. I mean, it's crazy.
And then pretty soon your whole house is covered with turkeys. All
yeah.
right, we're with John Higley, who has written Successful Turkey Hunting, that's the name of the book, and an author, sports or outdoor writer, and lives right here in town. in Palo Cedro, I believe.
That's correct.
In Palo Cedro, and has joined us today. But turkey season is starting Saturday. But to talk about conservation also and what a great job that hunters have done. And to grow a population from maybe 70,000 up to 7 million in this country, as they have other, like black bear and deer and antelope and other animals who have been saved, and their numbers have expanded so much that they can be hunted every year and should be. We'll be right back. It's 8:30 right here on KCNR 1460.
Has temporarily moved.
Not very far, just a couple hundred yards to the west.
So they can build a new and bigger and better showroom and service facility for you.
It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be incredible when it's completed.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved to 380 East Cypress while they build their new facility. So let's have a moving sale.
All 2016 Kia Sorentos, 16 Kia Optimas, Fortes, Sportages, Souls, and Rios are priced to move.
Make no payments for 90 days on new 16 Optimas and Sorentos, Redding's go-to fun vehicles.
0% financing available on certain models.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every new car purchased.
And America's best warranty.
Head them up. Move them out. Come on in.
Subject to prior sale ends April 1st. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% offer, plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation fees, and any emission testing charges.
Well done.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
Don't miss the moving sale at Redding Kia.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs, or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome back to Street Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, Street Fire Radio. It is 27 minutes until the hour of 9 o'clock here on Wednesday, March the 23rd. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's 48 degrees out there, going up to 74 today. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful all week. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time for some really, really great haircuts, the best in the North State. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. It's man's last stronghold. You can go in there and read books and magazines. You see NASCAR racing. You don't see Dr. Phil on the TV. But you do have an opportunity to see catch up on your turkey hunting tactics while you're in there. Everybody's in there. It's a great place to get your hair cut. at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue there, and talking about hunting. Saturday is the opening of turkey season here in California, and we have with us John Higley, who is a nationally known outdoor writer and a author of a book, Successful Turkey Hunting. And this is, you know, as we were talking about, want to get go back into this, is that you can do everything right, it makes no difference, because turkeys do what turkeys do. Turkeys have all day to do what they want to do, so it doesn't exactly work on schedule.
And they're so random.
So, okay, sir, going back then to it, and you said, okay, they're prey animals, and they only turkeys do what turkeys do. How do they, I mean, what keeps them alive in the wild? Because we're talking about guys out there spending a lot of money hunting and all this stuff with and these guns will reach out there and all that, but yet they don't seem to dent the population much.
Well, that's because of the season structure. We're not allowed to shoot too many birds.
Right.
But what keeps them alive is fear, because they're constantly aware of things around them, especially movement that they don't understand. And so they're pretty wary, and they will get away from a lot of that. The time when they're most vulnerable is when they're just hatched. The young ones, there's high predation on the young turkeys right after they hatch.
Okay.
And once they get to the point where they can fly, they'll fly away from trouble or run away from trouble, and they usually get away from most of it pretty well. I've seen big flocks around, and I can't tell that individual members are disappearing at any rate at all. So once they're adults, they're in pretty good shape.
Well, do turkeys rely on eyesight and their hearing? Is
primarily,
that right?
I would think eyesight.
Okay.
We always used to say, well, it's 8 times better than a human. I can't prove that. I just know that they're aware of movement.
And so movement is what gets them going. And it's everything I hear from people is that, you know, you've got to be absolutely still when you're hunting.
Well, yeah, but sometimes you can't be. What you have to do is move at the right time. You have to know what you're doing or realize what you're doing. If you see turkeys coming to you, you have to realize you can't move while you can see them, as a rule, because they can see you. So you want to wait until they go behind a barrier or something like that to shift your position or whatever.
Okay. And they make certain sounds.
Well, they make, if you want to read the official list, some biologist cataloged it once years ago. He said they make 28 different sounds. Well, you don't need to know 28 different sounds to call a turkey. I actually think the old-timers used to keep it really simple. They knew one sound, and that was a turkey yelp, and that's basically all they did. But everything else we do these days, we use cackles and cuts and purrs and clucks and all that. I call it window dressing. It's something you use if nothing else works. So basically, if you start out making the basic yelps, which I classify because I'm human, I have to separate them. I say, okay, there's 3 different yelps. There's a tree yelp, which is soft. There's a plain yelp, which is a...
Just, well, there's another one, too. Don't they have a sound like, I don't know what this is, and this is danger, or stay away, or something?
Well, they use a putt.
A putt.
Putt, putt, like that.
Right. I've heard that a lot.
But the putt can be mistaken for a cluck.
And
sometimes you watch a turkey putt, and the other turkeys get curious. It's not that they're going to bolt and run, but they do get curious. And then if they see something, they'll all go away.
Yeah, because when the first one looks at you, and you might be able to get by that one, but when the rest of the flock turns, and you can just watch their heads all turning towards you, you go, oh, no,
uh-oh.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I am done.
You know that feeling. Their body language speaks volumes.
Yeah, if there'd be hackles on their back, they would be coming up. There's little waddles going. What would you say the most, if you know, for our newer turkey hunters or even older turkey hunters? Because we were watching the guys going out with lots of experience, not getting anything. So what would you say the secret that you would tell anybody, maybe not a secret, but the basic thing for a turkey hunter?
One thing?
Well, okay, say 3 things, top 3 things.
I don't know. There's a lot of things involved in turkey hunting, and one of them is woodsmanship. It's just how you get to where you're going to set up. You don't want to spook the turkeys in the process of doing that. The other thing, I think, is persistent, because it doesn't always work on the single day that you're out there. But if you know turkeys are in a particular area, you've got to go back. And probably, if you want to start at the beginning, the most important thing is to hunt where there are some turkeys.
And well, that probably helps.
The first thing you want to do is do a bunch of scouting and things like that, so you can actually hunt where you know there are some turkeys. And then you just have to roll with the punches. Sometimes the weather messes up a day temporarily or something like that. Sometimes the toms are with hens in the morning. You want to go back the next day, maybe they're separated. They're a lot easier to call when that happens.
Okay, when they're separated like that, because they want to come back. Now, I'm looking at your book right now, and you've got it divided into several sections, calls and calling, fall tactics, behavior, woodsmanship, which has got a lot of chapters in it.
That's correct.
Of course, that's the most important thing, I guess, being able to get into position without scaring them. Good stuff. Talking about decoys and camo everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need to be completely camoed?
Well, camouflage, I don't know whether you need to be completely camoed or not. I noticed some of the experts I know wear khaki a lot,
really?
Khaki jacket and that kind of thing. But they're usually hunting out of blinds. So
okay.
I get a kick out of people that are fully camoed with their faces painted in blinds and all that kind of stuff because I sit in the blind a lot, and I can't hardly scare them away sometimes when I'm moving around in the blind. So there's always that. Camo, there are so many patterns, and everybody thinks there's one better than the next. The secret is to sit still. And the camouflage gives you the confidence to sit. This is what I say in my seminars anyway. Gives you the confidence to sit partially exposed.
Okay.
Against a tree or something like that, as my daughter used to say, well, you look like a bush, and that's what you're trying to do. And that's what the camouflage does. And you put a face net on your face or something like that to keep the shine from showing and that kind of thing. But the main thing, even with wearing camo, is to sit still when the bird might be able to see you.
Big secret, then, is staying still?
When the bird might be able to see you.
Right.
If you're using a friction call, which takes handwork, you need to know when to put it down.
Okay.
And that way a mouth call takes over then, because you can make clucks and yelps and things with a mouth call and not move at all.
Now, because they are so adept at picking up movement, that even people that try to, when they're getting ready to shoot, that's just one movement, just up and shoot. Because you try to sneak it up, it's not going
to
work.
Don't try to quick draw on a turkey. A lot of times, if you quick draw on one, he'll be faster than you are. I much prefer to have the gun up on my knees or somewhere so that it's pointed in the direction of that turkey when I first see it. And especially in the country we hunt around here, it's undulating country where oftentimes the birds, when you first see them, are in range. And so that I don't want to quick draw on one. I tried that one time on a turkey that came out of the wrong side of a bush. I had it pointed toward the other side of the bush, and I could not get the barrel around fast enough to shoot him before he was in the air. And so I just missed clean. So I don't like to quick draw. I like to have the gun in position.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing about the, you know, that has changed over the years. When I first started hunting turkeys, which was in the 70s too, by the way, it used to be an imperative that gun was up before that bird was in range. I mean, it was a big deal. We talked about shoulders and arms shaking from holding that gun. You know what I'm talking about, back in the 70s and holding that gun up. And through the years, I think we've come around to a little different idea on that. We don't hold that gun up anymore like we used to, because quite frankly, I mean, you'll pass out from the tremors of holding that gun up waiting for that tom to get in range. We actually do. We kind of get it pointed in what we think is going to be the right direction and kind of do like a little half – like a little half draw, you know, until they get there.
Right.
But I'll tell you, once you decide to do it, once you decide that it's time to shoot at that turkey, that bird has to go, or that gun has to go from half draw to cheek weld in about a hundredth of a second.
I don't like to do that because I would tend to miss.
Yeah.
If you don't have your head down on that stock properly, your cheek down on that stock, you're going to overshoot him.
Right. Well, I'm a gun trainer, so I'm going to give you my card when you leave here, and I'll get you by that.
Rather not quick draw on one personally.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about quick drawing. I'm talking about having that gun at the ready.
I know.
Well, you know, whether you quick draw or you have it ready, I like to have it up on a rest for me.
Yeah.
So I could just kind of lean one way or the other.
The only problem with that is if the turkey doesn't play fair, if he doesn't come straight to you, he might come around, and then you would have to move the rest and everything else in order to get on him. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know what, it's, I think from what I've seen of other people and talking, I am no expert on turkey hunting. But I do have a tendency to read and talk to people who are experts. And so I know that the important thing for a new hunter, one would be, is to go out with somebody that's hunted a lot to
very
find out
idea.
How they do it. To go out with somebody that knows what they're doing. So it's like, okay, like the other night, and this was a gentleman Tom told me, he says, turkeys will not come in, will not travel toward the sun. They will travel away from the sun. And he says that should cut part of the where you're having to, you know, you're looking at a place to set up, is look at which way the sun's coming up. The sun's and you want to get where the sun's coming up behind them, so they'll be kind of coming towards you. Is that?
Well.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good theory, I guess. But
I love it,
the
man.
Sun changes the sun changes angles as you sit there. I mean, uh-huh. If the sun is behind your back and the turkey is out in front of you, are you going to run around into the other side to call?
No.
I don't think you're going to be able to do that. You don't have the choice. You have to set up where you have to set up, no matter what position the sun is in. Now, I think Tom is thinking if the sun is really low, it's in their eyes and they won't come. Well, they're walking through shade anyway in an awful lot of places. There's trees all over the place. It's not like they're staring directly into the sun. So I'm not really that concerned about that. Besides,
okay, so,
this year it's going to be raining the whole spring season anyway. So.
It seems like it.
Oh. Okay, our guest is John Higley, who has written a book called Successful Turkey Hunting, and it's like he's written two books, and this one is like into its, 13th printing or something like that. And in it is anything from everything you need to know about slate calls, diaphragm calls, friction calls, turkey behavior. And I guess that's, are we going to, when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit about turkey behavior and some woodsmanship when we come back. Turkey behavior.
I really like the chapter on being prepared. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and being
because
prepared.
That's huge.
And being
that's
prepared.
Huge.
Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, "I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me?" About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, "There is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable." "Yes, I see," I said. The second said, "The quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable." "Yes," I agreed. The third scolded me. "If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle." I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, "Well, we looked it all over, and we all agreed. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys?" Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30043.
This is Maria Orozco. The Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino would like to thank everyone who attended Villains Year to Remember, because there is one in all of us. We would like to thank the Keyhole Mystery Theater and Front and Center Dance Studio for their wonderful entertainment. It always brings us joy to recognize the amazing organizations we partner with. It's because of organizations like you that our area is a true community. The Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino would also like to thank all our sponsors for their support.
Come learn how you could be on the Shasta County Grand Jury. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. the grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could ever hope for. For a thorough presentation with all the details, come to the informational meeting this Wednesday at 3 o'clock at Reading City Hall.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will?
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. With the beginning of turkey season coming, we've kind of like covered the gamut here today with Sierra Club International, with the LGBT outreach program that's happening at the library, and now we're here with John Higley, who has written a number of books, an outdoor writer, successful turkey hunting, which is into its, well, I don't know how many printings it's had since then, but they've got, you know, he's a nationally known, famous guy.
John,
doing this.
You
started the hour with politics, so we
started with politics.
Full circle.
Well, we started talking about turkeys and politics, and now we're talking about wild turkeys out there.
You also were a columnist for Turkey Call magazine.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah, I've read a lot of your stuff over the years. I just made the connection.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's Turkey Country now.
Well, it was, but it was Turkey Call when you were back in the day.
That's correct.
Okay,
I wanted to take you back.
How do people get your book? How do people get your book, John?
Well, I wish I had a website going, which I don't, but one good way is to go to Barnes & Noble and order it.
Okay.
There we go.
Barnes & Noble.
You can do that. And if you want to get a signed copy, you could actually email me, and I will send you the instruction sheet right as soon as I get it.
Okay.
So you can email me at johnhigley@shasta.com.
And that's Higley, H-I-G-L-E-Y.
That's correct.
Higley at
Shasta.com.
At Shasta.com. Not too much hard. It's not too hard there.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Right now.
You know, one of the reasons we brought John in was the turkey hunting season starting Saturday, and there's a lot of people. You know, we talk about money spent on turkey hunting. I mean, it's got to be, if you're talking like $1,000 per year per hunter, I can understand that. That'd be easy. So
I don't spend that much.
Well, no, I mean, if you've been hunting a while, I mean, like, I'm not going to go out and buy, you know, another shotgun or more clothing. I mean, you can only have so much camo, even though that Ted's got three closets filled with camo, and I'm wearing his hand-me-downs at this point.
Like my guns, like, I don't sell camo, I just buy it.
Yeah. and we talked about camo and all this, but you know, about, you know, about the a successful hunter has got to understand the habits of turkeys, and that, you know, no movement isn't necessarily true. You can move if they're not looking at you, or they're in a little spot, you can move around a little bit. So
I
don't know if you know this or not, John, but the turkey hunting world has given breed to a new demographic called camo snobs. I'm a camo snob. I'm a total camo snob.
Uh-huh. Meaning you've got one of everything? Or?
No, it means I only wear Mossy Oak.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm a camo snob.
I have a Mossy Oak hat here on the floor.
I know. I saw it. Don't put it on the floor. Dang. Yeah,
well,
I only wear Mossy Oak. I'm a camo snob.
You know,
have you ever, you know guys like that, right?
Yes, I do.
You know, John, one of the things I've noticed is that farmers or ranchers that have land with turkeys on them, it's getting harder and harder to find places to hunt.
It depends on where you are. I think some of the people down in, I've been told anyway, Lake County and I forgot the other name of the county down there. One person has told me it's easier to get on. A lot of those people have vineyards, and they really don't like the turkeys around, but they've got a lot of turkeys. And so in some cases, that's correct. Up here, I think there's been enough of us out there, and there's enough of hunters around, that a lot of us have had land for a long time, and those ranchers don't want a lot of other people on there besides the ones that are already there.
Yeah. Or people have leased. I've seen where people have, you know, ranches, all these ranches are leasing their land out.
That's correct.
Because this is another $10,000 or $12,000 a year that they get.
That's
for that. So that kind of like takes it away from people too.
Right. That's unfortunate. There are some turkeys on BLM land and National Forest land around here. They're not easy to find. But what I would do when I'm deer hunting or out there at any time, I would be looking for turkey sign if I'm in a place that looks like it might have them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually, off 299, I did find turkey sign last fall in a place where I didn't expect it. And I know that that place being BLM land, I could actually get out of my truck someday and go hunt that property and probably not have any interference from any other hunters. However, it's a matter, the other thing to do is if you do find turkeys on public land and you say, well, there's a lot of guys around there, which happens, wait till the third week of the season or hunt during the week, and possibly the competition will be thinned out considerably. And
okay.
That would help you out a lot.
Yeah, if you can find a place that, you know, that's open that the people let you hunt there.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Opening day is an absolute circus on public land.
It can be, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things for opening day and pheasant season. Mm-hmm. There'd be people in camps that are 40, 50, 60 hunters, ready to go out and work the different fields up there in Idaho.
Right.
Okay, so the successful turkey hunter is got to understand, he's got to be quiet, he's got to have woodsmanship, woodscraft. And then the turkey and the behavior we talked about is they're prey animals. They're prey animals, and that they have got to be quick. They've got to see movement, and any type of movement will get a movement. You know, and if they're in an area, they know everything in that area too. So if something's new, they're not going to.
Well, you know, I've put up blinds in areas the day before hunting, and they don't seem to bother about them. They don't seem to worry about it very much, but they're very curious birds. In my own little flock in the backyard, if I throw a black piece of hose out there, they think it's a snake, and they'll walk around it and just posture like crazy looking at it until they understand what it is. So they are curious birds, and they may notice you being a rock against a tree where there wasn't a rock the day before. I can't prove whether they would actually care about that or not.
Well, I remember in the 90s we were doing a rocket net job up in Roseburg, Oregon, and we had the rocket nets. And what we would do is, these were all nuisance birds, mm-hmm. and they would come to food every day. Mostly the landowners are feeding them, right. and they turn into a huge flock. And so they call the Department of Natural Resources up there, and we go rocket net them and move them. Well, we had the rocket net out and a blind. When we set that rocket net out and the blind for a week so that they would be used to it.
Right.
Well, one of the things that we had to set in the morning was the fuse.
Uh-huh.
The yellow fuse that went from the rocket net to the blind. And and those birds would come in for a week, and then we would get in the blind and lay out that fuse. We wouldn't think anything about it. Do you know those birds would stop at that fuse and they wouldn't cross it? They wouldn't cross it into the feed zone so we could catch them with a net. They would walk up and down it, back and forth, putting, talking, doing all kinds of stuff, having a conversation about what was going on with that little yellow cord that was running into the blind, they noticed. So, they're very curious and they're very attentive.
Yep, very true.
How old do turkeys live in the wild?
How long? It's hard to say. They caught a hen once that was 13. They knew it because she was banded or something like that.
Wow.
Most turkeys only live a couple of weeks because they're young and they get preyed off. The other ones, I've watched the same bird, I know, for about 5 years now, a hen, particular hen. You can tell the gobblers when you kill them by the length of the spur. You can almost say up to a four-year-old, you can tell how old he is. After that, you can't really tell. But I would give them, this is not scientific. I couldn't really say, but three or 4 years anyway.
The in the last part is after you've harvested your turkey.
Yes,
it's not one of those ones you throw into the this is not a butterball turkey you're going to be eating.
Well, their breast meat is not as broad as a butterball turkey. Obviously, I normally pluck every turkey. Some guys skin them.
Mm-hmm.
And breast out the breast meat and stuff like that and take the thighs and the drumsticks and whatever. I personally roast them just like a regular turkey, unless I've got too many. And then I will breast them out and do the breast separately from the rest and that kind of thing. The tough part of a turkey is going to be the drumstick. The thighs aren't that bad. The wings are going to be tough as well. But the main thing is I defeather them. I take the feathers off of them. Pluck them just like a chicken, and I would maybe roast them in a browning bag or something like that to keep them moist. That's the main thing, is people would think of, this is a wild taste. That's not true of turkeys.
Okay, great. Hey, Ted Leidy, thank you so much for being with me, buddy.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me on. Wish we could have talked guns more. We'll do that next time.
Northern Firearms Instruction. This is has his business up here in Northern California, teaching people from all over Northern California on shooting and concealed carry. And how do people get a hold of you?
USGunPro.com.
USGunPro.com. Or
999-1822.
And, of course, John Higley, successful turkey hunter and author. And a local resident here, his book is Successful Turkey Hunting. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. And or his email address is
johnhigley@shasta.com.
There you go. All right. Tomorrow, Trish Clark's going to be here with her little brand of wildness. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Won't be turned around.
KCNR Shasta Ridding.
Keep this one.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. He's still out there somewhere. The suspect in yesterday's deadly terror attacks in Brussels is on the run. And correspondent Denitsa Kirka in Brussels says there is a massive manhunt now underway.
Authorities are searching for a man who was pictured at the airport yesterday with two of the apparent suicide bombers. He's still on the loose. And there's a suggestion today that the bombings at the airport and at the subway yesterday were the work of the same Islamic State cell that attacked Paris last year.
Belgium's chief prosecutor says investigators have found 33 pounds of explosives at the house from which the suspects in the Brussels attack left for the airport. A cab driver who drove the three suspects to the airport led authorities to the house. President Obama and Argentina's president have begun a meeting at Argentina's equivalent of the White House. A military band played as Mr. Obama arrived, and thousands lined the streets of Buenos Aires to catch a glimpse of the presidential motorcade.